I'm an addict in recovery. My name's Ed.
Ed.
And I'm clean through God's grace and this program called Narcotics Anonymous. And today, April 12th, 2008, is my biological birthday.
All right.
I turned 46. I know I don't look it. But I turned 46 today, and I thought I was going to be dead at 33.
Tough.
Yeah. I've been doing this for a long time. And I swear to you, as I looked at the program, there were some good topics. And I was hoping that everybody would be in those rooms versus being here. Because my disease tells me from the door that I ain't got nothing to share. Right? I've done a lot of work in my recovery in the last 12 and a half years. But I could tell you that I am just scratching the surface of what life's about. So if you're sitting in here and you're saying the newcomer, right, is the most important person, I'm going to ask two questions. The first question, and I've never done this, so please follow me. The first question is, how many people in the room have 90 days or less?
Yeah.
People, you need to thank your sponsor right after this meeting. How many of you have 10 years or more? Those of you with 90 days or less, please stay clear of those that have 10 years or more. Now, I didn't say stay away. I said, stay clear. You need to find those people with 10 years or more and hug them and let them know that you're just as scared as they are. Because just because you got clean time doesn't mean that you're recovered. Our literature is very clear. Right? Our literature and the theme behind our convention, right, is that any addict.
Yeah, any addict.
Right? And I've heard this said in this convention a bunch of times, but there's a word that they keep leaving out. It says any addict can stop using drugs.
Yes.
Lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. Those people with 90 days or less can identify with the first part of that sentence. The people with 10 years or more struggle with the second part. Losing the desire to use, because it doesn't say drugs there. See, and I didn't come from New Jersey to Ocean City, Maryland to go home with the shit I brought to Ocean City, Maryland. Because the God that I serve told me on my way here that I got to leave the secrets. I don't know if you can identify with secrets. Clean time will hold you hostage to the shame and the guilt that you live in with clean time. So those of you with 90 days or less, yes, you are the most important person in the meeting. But on any given day, look at those people that you are afraid of because they got clean time and go up to them and hug them and tell them, I understand where you're at because I've been there. Yeah. Our literature in Who's an Addict says, once we identify ourselves as addicts, help becomes possible. There's no guarantee in that word possible. We can see a little of ourselves in every addict and see a little of them in us. This insight lets us help one another. Our future seemed hopeless until we found clean addicts who were willing to share with us. Denial of our addiction kept us sick, but our honest admission of addiction enabled us to stop using. And again, it doesn't say using drugs. So on any given day, right, I can be the most important person in the meeting. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience since I've been in recovery. Now, I'm not going to give it up yet, but I'm going to give it up. Because I told you I ain't taking it home with me. But I tell you, when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous on June 25th, 1995, I walked up to a meeting in East Brunswick, New Jersey, not of my own free will. See, there are two ways to get to Narcotics Anonymous. There's the easy way. And there's the hard way.
Come on, man. Yeah, shit.
Right?
That's right.
The easy way is to be homeless, jobless, penniless, worthless, suicidal. Right? That's the easy way to get here. The hard way to get here is to have something. Not to have lost your family. Not to have lost your job. Still own property. See, I was blessed and cursed with something called intellect.
Come on, come on.
Yeah. Right, I got to a place where I was a high school graduate at 16, and shortly thereafter, I was homeless. I was a freshman in college at 17, and I graduated from college at 25. And the whole time, right, I was using. So I don't remember shit. About my education. So in the process of getting an education and getting high, I thought I knew something. Right? We call them, after we get clean, we call them survival skills. Uh-huh. Lying, cheating, stealing, conning, manipulating, you know, those things that the people that have 90 days or less are still living with. But don't forget that those people with 10 years or more are still living with them too. We just have learned how to master it a little better. We're still in denial that we're lying, cheating, stealing, conning, and manipulating those people that we say we love and that they say love us. We still are trying to get to work at 9:05 and leave at 4:55. And don't say we ain't thieves. We don't steal anymore. Right, the 8 suggestions, man, for the newcomer, the 8 suggestions are the new survival mechanism for us to live life in Narcotics Anonymous. Because this is a whole microcosm of different lifestyle that some of us are so afraid to take out into the world. We have to remember that we're only in here for an hour and a half. You know, this celebration of life that we get a chance to spend 3 days, 4 days together is an amazing thing. I was at the beach meeting this morning watching the sunrise. Watching the sunrise. I used to hate the sunrise.
Yeah, I'm mad. I'm mad. Yeah.
Another fucking day.
Yeah.
Birds chirping. The fuck they happy about? I know people can identify. Yeah. Look, I was just sitting there, and my mother called. And she knows that I'm here. And she called me to tell me happy birthday and good luck. My mother kicked me out at 16. I hated my mother for a lot of years. I'll show her, I'll hurt me. And in the process, right, some of you might be able to identify this. Some of you might not, because you might be still in denial. My mother was no longer a codependent. You know, maybe you can identify with being a codependent or not. That's where the denial piece comes in, the or not piece. Because we all live with that certain amount of I need her or I need him. Please don't leave me. I swear I'll change.
Come on, man.
And I told my mother for a long time, it's going to be different. I swear, Ma, it'll be different. It'll change. I swear I won't do that again. And in the process, right, my father, who was a dope fiend, you know, he shot dope. He was from the era of the $2 bag. You know, he shot dope for 30 years of his life. He did 15 years in a federal penitentiary, not all in a row. 3 different bids. He was never there for me. Right? And I grew up with this process of he abandoned me. How dare he? He didn't love me. You know, at a meeting that I was at a couple minutes ago, this woman was talking about rejection. Right? And the reality was that he didn't reject me. He had the disease of addiction. He didn't even know who I was. Because when I was getting high, fuck, I didn't know who I was.
Come on, man.
And I was walking around with me every day.
Yes.
So in that process, right, of finding out that my mother wasn't codependent because she kicked his ass out. So why wouldn't she kick my ass out? You know, she caught me. I was 15. I had 300 pounds of weed in her house. And she said, you need to get that out or I'm going to flush it. No. No. Don't kill me, Ma. And one day I came home and she was gone. She had moved to another country. She wasn't fucking around. But like all mothers, you know, they love you. She loved me. She just didn't want me getting high. So when I found her 7 months later, she was living in Puerto Rico. I was living in Brooklyn. You know, half on the F train, half under the boardwalk in Brighton Beach. If some of you might know Brooklyn a little bit. You know, she had sold the liquor store that she owned on the corner of Stone and Pickin in Brownsville. And she went to Puerto Rico and she bought a girl's dorm that housed 36 college girls. I said, I'm moving to Puerto Rico. And in that process of moving to Puerto Rico, my disease took off to a whole nother level that had nothing to do with drugs. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, I told you, a little later, because I ain't going home with that stuff. So in the process, right, now newcomer, try and follow me, stay with me, because I'm trying to let you know how hard it was for me to surrender. That first step process. You got to know your story to be in acceptance. So in the process of surrendering, I really had to go through the storms. And I know that you can identify that you don't grow in this process unless you're going through the storms.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Sure.
Because God said, I got you. And he carried me, right? Like Footprints in the Sands talks about. He carried me. But right now, he loves me so much because he just wants me to be obedient to him that he will discipline me time and time again through the storms. And sometimes in recovery, we want to say, oh, God ain't looking out for me. He's looking out for you. He's carrying you through the storm. So in the process of getting to Puerto Rico, I became a college student, and that's where the process started, where I don't remember shit. My drug addiction took off, and the process of self-hatred took off. And the process of self-loathing took off. And the low self-esteem got lower. And I started to believe that I needed her so that I could be me. And I use the word her because she doesn't have a name.
Come on now. Come on, man.
It was just another her. Mm-hmm. So if you're a newcomer in here with 90 days or less, stay clear from the old timer that got 10 years or more, because I know that I didn't give the newcomer an opportunity to grow in this process, and I took her hostage thinking I could fix her. And in the process of trying to fix her, I did a lot of stuff. And the stuff got uglier and worse every time I had to look at me in the mirror. And then my clean time held me hostage because I couldn't come to a meeting and share it because I got this clean, and what are they going to think of me? And so my honesty got distorted again. So in the process of the distortion, that's where the disease lives. And it makes you believe things that aren't real. It makes you believe things that aren't there. You start hallucinating all over again without a drug. You start waking up in the middle of the night, 4 in the morning, sweating, Was that a drug dream? Can't even remember what the hell you were dreaming about. Because the uncomfortability, the dis-ease has set in again. And in the process, right, I get to this meeting, June 25th, 1995. It's a young people's meeting in East Brunswick, New Jersey. And most of the people there were young. That's why they called it the young people's meeting. And they had like purple hair, orange hair, tattoos, earrings. You know, I was like pretty boy. I weighed 135 pounds. Thought I looked good, right? Walked up to this meeting, and there was one joker standing outside the meeting, and he looked kind of freaky. He had a tie-dye shirt on. He had long hair. He looked like he was still tripping on LSD. And I went to give him the cool guy handshake, you know. And he looked at my hand, and he said, "We don't shake hands here. We hug." And before you knew it, he was holding me. Yeah. And I couldn't push him away. His spirit.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
His spirit touched my hollow soul.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
And I knew that God, listen, man, April of 1983, I went to a church. I knew that there was something to do with God.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
And I got clean. But I didn't know anything about the disease of addiction. So in June of 95, when this guy gave me a hug, I felt the spirit.
Yes, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
It was a life-changing, life-transforming process from the door.
Yes, 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 yes.
So those of you with 90 days a day, that 90 days or less know what I'm talking about. Those with 10 years or more forget how powerful a hug is. Sometimes we forget that scared person in the corner by himself in his first meeting.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
And we get into our little clique.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, Ed. Share, Ed.
The newcomer is the most important person. My livelihood depends on the newcomer. In recovery, my life depends on the newcomer. So in the process of getting better and going to this first meeting, I went home and I called the guy who convinced me to go to my first meeting, and I said to him, "You're out of your fucking mind if you go to a place like that to get better." And he said, "Yeah, listen, in Edison tomorrow, there's a 12:30 meeting." I said, "Did you hear what I just said?" He said, "Yeah, I heard you. Tomorrow at 12:30, there's another meeting, and we're going to that one too." So I, in my infinite wisdom, I said, "Well, 12:30, he lives in the Bronx. How early could it be at my house? 9? I said, "Fuck it, I'll be out at 8. 6 o'clock in the morning. I ended up at my second Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
Yeah, that's all right.
12:30
yeah, that's
in
all
Edison, right. New Jersey. And I saw people who looked like me. I felt something again. But the second meeting, I didn't know what I felt. I just knew that I felt at home, and I didn't know what it was about. It wasn't until my third Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It was a writing meeting. There ain't many of those. I don't know why. We talk a lot of shit about writing steps, but we don't help the newcomer in preparation for that. But I was at this writing meeting, and they said you can write anything you want for 10 minutes. And I probably hadn't picked, remember, I was smoking crack for a long time. I had a college degree, but I was smoking crack.
Come on,
a
man.
Joke comes to my mind. I shouldn't say this, but it just came into my head.
Yeah.
Like, who makes more money, right? A crack dealer or a prostitute? The prostitute, because she could wash her crack and sell it again. Just trying to break it up a little bit, man.
Yeah, that's all right.
But God knows what he's doing.
That's all right.
The newcomer needs to know that we have fun in recovery.
That's right. Yes.
So here we are, right, trying to find out, right, what's happening to me. And I write for 10 minutes. And then after the speaker, I didn't want to do this, but they said the floor is now open, and my hand went like this. It just went like this. And he picked on me. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I didn't know what to share. I said, can I read what I wrote? And he said, sure. And I began to read what I wrote. And this apple started growing in my throat. And it was an apology letter that I had written to my ex-wife, who was my wife at the time, and my son, who was 4 years old at the time. And when I looked up, everybody in the room was crying. And they stood up, and they walked around, and they did that hugging thing again. This is my third meeting. And they told me it was going to be all right.
Yeah.
And they told me that I just needed to keep coming back, that it was going to get better. And I don't know why I kept going back to that Friday night young people's meeting, but I went every Friday night. And I would do this, that fucking bitch, cunt, motherfucker. I would just tear up my ex-wife. And then I would say, if there's any women after the meeting, please get with me. I need some help. They never told me not to come back. I was out of my fucking mind. So if you're new and you're sitting in here, just keep coming. But get honest. Share honest. Get to a place, because listen, the storms are coming, not in early recovery. I wish, check this out, when I got here, I had a drug problem and life was, now I got a life problem and drugs.
Yeah, come on now.
So in the process, right, of having this life problem, I figured out that I still don't know shit about life. That I got the tools. I got you people. I got a God who loves me. He will never leave me nor forsake me.
Come on now.
But he will discipline me until I'm on my knees saying, God, please help me.
Say that.
So I'm trying to get to a place of helping the newcomer, right? But I also got to get to a place of helping that person who's been here for a little bit. And in the process of figuring this thing called recovery out, I figured out that I'm never going to figure it out. I figured out, right? Check this out. I came into the process of recovery in 1995. I started working in the treatment field in 1997, right? In 2002, I graduated from NYU with a master's degree.
All right now, it's all right.
Started some PhD work, just because I like Dr. Fernandez as a first name. That's all. But my disease has learned everything I've learned.
Yeah, come on now, come on now, come on now.
My disease will take everything that I know and manipulate it.
Yeah, come on now, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To still lie, cheat, steal, con, and manipulate. The only thing is that because I ain't using a drug, I don't remember who I lied, stole, cheated, conned, and manipulated like I used to. Because I'm not that sharp anymore. Because I trust God.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, man.
So check this out, right? Here's new words. New words. Big shotism. It's a new word for me. Right? Deceitful. It's a new word. Right? Ego and pride have always been there, but they've taken on a new life. Right? Being in a place that you think you know something. Being in a place that you're helping newcomers. That you're guiding them into the process of treatment, guiding them into the process of recovery. Using my educational knowledge, right? And my big shotism to think or help people think I know something. Learning that my whole process is about having power over, another new word. That if I have power over you, Or you, I might someday be able to love me. Because I'm in a process that I'm understanding that I still don't love me. I still believe I'm a bad person. Here's another word. I found out that I'm not authentic.
Come on now.
Listen, man, the sixth step has taken on a whole new meaning. So in the process of finding out all of this new information with 12 and a half years clean, right, here I am sharing from the podium all over the country that I'm living monogamously. I didn't even know what the fucking word meant. So I'm sharing all over the country, I'm monogamous, 9-year relationship. Love her to death. She's the best.
Come on, man.
I was a counselor in treatment, and she was a patient. She had 0 days clean. I'm talking about I'm saving this one. I could have lost my career.
Come on, man.
Right? She was 19. I was 36. Everybody in my area was saying, "Oof, Ed's the fucking man."
Come on, Ed.
So I wasn't letting this one go.
Hi, man.
Right?
Yeah.
We have a baby. 4 years in, she wants out. Four and a half years in, she says, "I don't think I'm an addict. I'm a drink." And I begin to slip. And I begin to, right, put myself in a predicament. That my value system is now going to be broken.
Come on now.
My morals.
That's right.
Because I can't come and get honest. get me to a place where I submit like a puppy dog. With all my intellect and with all my knowledge and all my recovery and all the shit that I thought I knew, this woman had me like a puppet on a string.
Come on here. Come on here.
And we broke up. She went her way. I went mine. 8 months went by. She didn't talk to me. Nothing. And I said to my sponsor, look, I know it's a year almost, but I want a date. And I start the date, and I thought it was great. I don't know how to fucking date. I start dating this woman at the church. She's wonderful. Wonderful. She got a 24-year-old daughter. Before you know it, I'm fucking the mother, the daughter. It's great. I don't know how to date.
Yeah. Come on, man. Share.
My daughter's mother says, you dating? Who the hell is that? So now I'm fucking the mother, the daughter, and my daughter's mother. Out of my fucking mind. Loving it. The disease at its best.
Come on, man.
So I get back together with her, and I start living monogamously again. And then all of a sudden, she goes back. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. What the fuck's that? So we live this tug of war, man. I'm now, right now, I become codependent. Remember that word I said before? Now I'm doing everything that goes against everything I ever believed in. And I'm taking abuse. And I'm in a place that I had to end that. And when I ended it, shortly thereafter I found out that she was in an extramarital affair with a married man for 2.5 years. And I said, how the fuck could she do that to me? Now here I am fucking around. But I lost my mind. I became a stalker. Yeah, I became a stalker. I got to a place of trying to figure out how to kill her and kill him and find out who his wife was so I can kill her too. This is with 12 years clean. So I got the stop now sign, so I'm going to shut it down. I got 12.5 years clean. I got 11.5 years clean from nicotine.
That's all right, man.
Hold. I got 8 years and 3 months caffeine free. I got 23 months with no compulsive shopping. And today I got 274 days with no sex and no masturbation.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
That's all right. Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm talking about the second part of learning how to stop using. I am today working on something called fantasy. Because every relationship I ever slept in that wasn't her, it was her in my mind, so I was sleeping with her anyway. Even when I slept with her, I couldn't enjoy her because she had to be in my mind. So lust at a whole nother level. And they told me that if I didn't practice abstinence, I would not be able to get this thing called recovery from this sexual addiction that has taken off. So I'm telling you, for the newcomer, the ones with 90 days or less, stay clear from the ones that have 10 years or more. Hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. Because we don't get better right away. It's a process. So if you're sitting here right? I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm shutting it down. I swear to God. Says here, so welcome. We are glad that you have made it here and hope that you decide to stay. It is important for you to know that you will hear God mentioned at NA meetings. What we are referring to is a power greater than ourselves that makes possible what seems impossible. We found that power here in NA, in the program, in the meetings, and in the people. This is the spiritual principle that has worked for us to live drug-free, not drug-proof, drug-free, a day at a time, yeah. And whenever a day is too long, then 5 minutes at a time. We can do together what we cannot do alone. We invite you to use our strength and our hope until you have found some of your own. There will come a time when you too may want to share with someone else what has been freely given to you. I can tell you that the gift that God has given me in recovery is far greater than anything I could ever imagine. And I told you in the beginning, I haven't even scraped the surface yet. So if you're sitting here and you're touched by something I said, please thank the God of your understanding. And if you're sitting here and you're confused, that was my shit and I apologize. Thanks.
Let's give Ed another hand. All right. Now, this is Steve talking to Steve. You're Steve. You're not the speaker. Okay. At this time, I will introduce our second speaker, Brother Azam.
Good afternoon, family. My name is Azam. I'm definitely blessed with recovering addict.
Hey, Azam.
I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy and for allowing me to be in a constitutional meeting for that. I'm truly grateful. But I get emotion is only a direct result of this program, you know, because, like, I'm looking around and I'm seeing a lot of my predecessors, right, that they loved me through my shortcomings. They said they would love me until I learned to love myself, right? And I fell short in here plenty of times, man. But I'm talking about, like, they're talking about the newcomer being the most important person. Like I need to share with you, I need to thank the Chesapeake area for inviting me once again. My first Nakasana meet outside of New York was right here. I had the opportunity to come share on the language of empathy, and that's what our program is founded on, not so much about what you use or how you use, but the pain and suffering that brought us all here. Yes. You know, this Nakasana is just like the Titanic. I don't care what seat you change. If it go down, we all go down. Right. You know, I need to share with you my home group. It's a Miracles Live 4-Step Workshop. We meet every Friday at 7:30 on 144 Bleecker. We help each other stay clean for 90 minutes and talk about the fourth step. My other home group is at 7 a.m. Wake Up in Brooklyn. We meet 5 days a week at 7 a.m. And each day is a different topic to help us work this program called Narcotics Anonymous. Like, Ed, thank you. Thank you, man. The newcomers that talk about y'all had 90 days or less, man. When I came here as a newcomer, they told me to sit up front. They told me to sit up front, and I'm talking about, like, today I got 12 years and 9 months, and I still sit up front. I'm talking about I still sit up front. Because when I sit in the middle and I sit in the back, I'm worrying about what's going on back there. I'm talking about I sit in intensive care because my ass stay on fire. You know why? Because a lot of times I come with an ego. I come with self-righteousness. I come with some shit that can't fix the spiritual dilemma that I suffer from. I'm talking about the newcomer being the most important person. I remember when I was new. I'm talking about when I made my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they talk about if you have any drug weapons, drugs, paraphernalia, please take it outside, stash it, preferably trash it, come back to the meeting. You're welcome, those things or not. I had a stem in my pocket. Come on, man. I took it out of my pocket and I put it in my sneakers because I wasn't getting rid of it.
Come on, man. Come on now.
It wasn't time, and I'm talking about like I didn't hear nothing then. Yeah. I only made that meeting because I was with my uncle, and I knew after the meeting he was going to give me a couple of dollars so I could go get the next one.
Come on, man.
I'm talking about prior to coming here, I had a job that had no 401k plan, no pension, no days off. It was none of that. It was finding ways and means to get more. Newcomer, I understand right now you might don't understand what I'm talking about, but I'm gonna let you know, clean, sometimes I feel just like you. Just like you. And like, if you're gonna judge me when you leave here, don't hate me, just hate the disease. Cause like I don't even know how to free myself, man. Cause like we're talking about the newcomer, and like I'm an addict and I use the literature, and I'm gonna refer to the literature because the literature is a program and it has not failed me yet. There's a difference between an addict and a recovering addict.
Come on, man. Come on.
If you're sitting in here and you're not in this literature, you just might just be an addict. But he shared it. Put down the drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, newcomer. Don't let nobody tell you about waiting 90 days to get into the literature. Or to get into, don't make no major decisions. Newcomer, it's a major decision to get into this literature.
Say that.
That's a major decision. It's a major decision not to pick up the first one.
Yes.
I'm talking about like getting here and only putting down the drugs and not trying to find a new way to live and wondering why I was still spiritually bankrupt. I'm talking about being in a 12-step program and not doing 12-step work. I'm talking about getting here, trying to guide myself. Like getting a sponsor because you had one, but telling my sponsor how to sponsor me.
Come on now.
Right?
Come on.
We talking about the newcomer being the most important person. Like I'm so crazy with the literature, I like to get analytical, right? So like okay, soon as I got the topic, I went straight to the computer. Let me see what a newcomer is. Right, because there's some misconceptions, because I'm talking about I don't come here acting like I know anymore. So I'm talking about I started asking people, what is a newcomer? Okay. Somebody told me, the person that get here, how long do they stay a newcomer? He said, till they get about 5 years. I said, that shit don't sound right.
My man. Come on now. Come on, Hosea.
5 years and you still
Hosea.
A newcomer?
Come on, Hosea.
Or the addict that decided to come here, leave, and come back, is he new?
No.
I just break the two words down. I think he that person that come here for the first time, that hit his message for the first time, now you new. Because they said, once you know, you can't go back to not knowing, but I know and understand, and Ed shared it, like, once you admit that you're an addict, help becomes possible.
Yeah.
But our first steps talks about the difference between resignation and surrender. Like the addict, the newcomer, if you raise your hand and admitted that you was an addict, it's a second part to that.
Yeah.
You must accept recovery as a solution. How many people resign from their job and go back to work? Right? So I'm talking about the new, so like after I found all these different concepts that people talk about being a newcomer, stuff like that, I said, yo, you got a sponsor, call your sponsor. So I get on the phone, I call my sponsor. I said, like, this is my topic. I need you to give me a hit so I can get him a hit, right? Because, like, I love my sponsor to death. I just don't want to be him, right? And I'm talking, this is a guy that, like Ed, he traveled all over the place, Africa and all of that, but I'm just like, that's just not my story. My story keeps me here. Yours keep me coming. So I called my sponsor. I said, yo, this is my topic. What do I share about? He says, let's just stay, keep it basics. What is a newcomer? If the newcomer is the most important person, how is he important to you, Z? Okay. Oh, I just said Z. That's that image guy.
All right.
That's yo. Image and prestige will have your ass locked and loaded. Locked and loaded. Don't think because you ain't using drugs that your disease don't stop being active. We got a first step that tells you, how do you know your disease is active? When you get caught up in obsessive and compulsive, endless loops and routines, that still, it says, that same something, right, that keeps you still decaying emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Been there, done that. 10 years clean, New Year's Eve. My wife decided she ain't want to be in a relationship anymore.
Come on.
Anyway, let me get back to that. That's a relationship topic. Right? That's a relationship topic. But I'm talking about like coming here and putting down a drug. He said, so how is that newcomer important to you, right? Because I see a lot of stuff goes on, you know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about like I respect the newcomer, but at one point I lost respect. When I stopped dealing with the male newcomers and started dealing with the female newcomers, I started waving clean time.
Okay.
Like, will you still love me when I tell the truth? Because, like, I heard honesty is only getting up here because you got caught. And now I want to confess. But check this out. The truth is even up for revision. Because I'm talking about when God starts revealing things to me, God only give me enough so I can handle in the moment. But I'm talking about my experience, my strength, my hope. It's not because I could quote literature. It's a direct result of doing some work, being put in a position to practice something different, talking about getting honest in the moment, and decide to say, let's go back to the old things, because he said that the defects were survival skills. Yeah. Six Steps says that if they didn't contribute to your happiness, how can they contribute to your recovery? So I'm talking about like newcomer. Why are you important to me? Because without a newcomer, they would not be a predecessor. I'm talking about our first tradition talks about how important it is, because it has stopped two people that don't like each other, stop them from arguing just so they can help you. I'm talking about spiritual principles are the only potential until you share it with another recovering addict. I need to share something, because the newcomer is the most important person, right? But there's some of y'all sitting here that need to hear this. Charlie O, I love you, man. I told Charlie O, I said, I'm going to apologize. He said, apologize for what? Telling the truth? The truth will hurt it or piss you off, but that should have set you free. I know what it did for me, right? Our fifth tradition in the works, how and why. My eyesight ain't messed up yet, but I don't know. I'm hyped. I get hyped about this. Telling you. It's all right, man. I would paraphrase it, but then y'all be talking about I gave y'all my mess. So that ain't gonna happen. Okay, where we at? Here we go. It says, many meetings are structured to carry the message to our newest members. These new members often need more encouragement to stay, more answers to their questions, more of our love and care. But the newest members are not the only addicts who need the message of recovery. The still suffering addict with whom we share our hope may be any one of us, regardless of clean time. Tradition 5 is not limited to helping newcomers. The message of recovery is for all of us. I'm talking about that addict that might be sitting in here with double digits and scared to say what Ed just came up here and said.
Yeah, come on now, come on.
You know what I'm saying? Could be talking about the humility in the seventh step if you did one. Talking about moving out of the way and let God do God's work. I'm talking about the 12th step talks about how, like, for that member, right, that lose the gratitude, right? You know what happens to the member with substantial clean time and the gratitude sinks in? He said he slowly slips back into the old behaviors. I'm talking about when a disease will take you someplace you don't want to go, have you there longer than you want to stay, and have you pay a price you can't afford to pay. Right? So I'm talking about, it says, like, no matter what we do, like, no matter what I do, I could call my sponsor, I could go to my home group, I could do all this stuff. But the hope that you get from sharing with a newcomer, yeah. I'm talking about that hope. I'm talking about, like, how do I work with newcomers? I got a newcomer list, right? And because of this topic, it made me get back to the basics. But, like I said, okay, let me go to my list. I called the first newcomer on the list, right? I knew this guy when he had 30 days, right? So when he answered the phone, he said, who this? I said, Azam, but he knew me as AZ, so I had to refresh his memory, right? So then he told me, he says, Zam, yo, this call just helped me. Because he moved to Las Vegas, and you know, like, New York got the most meetings. I'm sorry, right? It got a lot of meetings. But he says, there are not a lot of meetings where he's at. And he said, that phone call right there made all the world of a difference. We're talking about, like, as an experienced member, do you give that newcomer that one extra minute when you're on the phone? To help him get that one extra day that he might need. Do you get a newcomer number and tell him, don't call me after 11? Or do, like when they ask me for my number, I ask them for their number. Just in case they don't call me, I'll call them. Do you call that newcomer back that he, any time he call, all he do is dump, 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 dump. And then when you look at your call ID, because we have that now, and you say, oh, damn, him again? Do you pick your phone up? That's what I'm talking about. I remember one guy called me 4:30. I'm not going to lie, I was hesitant. I said, what the hell?
That's all right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I thought I was going to have to do one of them 12-step calls and leave my house. Because my thing is, I share with you this. And I can be honest, don't call me after you use the drug to come get you. Because I don't know, you might be jeopardizing my life because I know what I did.
Come on now, come on, man.
I know what I did. I like, all right, get you over here. You're going to meet me where I want to meet you at. I'm not coming like that. Because I don't know what you're into. We're talking about the newcomer being the most important person, man. Like, how do that show in your gratitude when you say that? Because I learned that gratitude is an action word.
That's right.
Gratitude is an action word. I was looking at something. Where is that? I had a whole script. Somebody was talking about that. You took my stuff. Look, I had a whole script. I'm talking about, like, I bring my profession here sometime, but I don't talk about it. But I'm talking about, like, anything that can enhance my recovery, I use it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
I was a teacher once upon a time, right? He said, my sponsor says, like, when I share with newcomers or anybody, I tell everything. When I act out, when I'm caught up on the internet, and all this, right? I had this sponsor one time, he's Puerto Rican. And I'm Puerto Rican too, by the way. In any event, so I was teaching, but I was a promiscuous individual, right? Like you. Right? Right? Oh, I'm getting hot. I'm getting hot. Look. So I'm talking about, I'm teaching in class, but then during the lunch hours, I'm telling students I can give you extra help. Can I get your cell phone number? Right? Listen to me, newcomer. That's with a sponsor, 12-step work, 12 traditions, some concept, home group, support group, and all of that. And knowing the ethics that I'm supposed to be practicing inside my job. Right? Thank you. This is the only time I drink water. Ah, good stuff. So listen, like, so I'm talking about, like, I got the newcomer pamphlet, right? And on April 9th, it's talking about acting out. It says, we learn, experience feelings, and realize they can do us no harm unless we act on them, right? So I'm sharing with my sponsee, like, saying, damn, you know, it says, I gotta get a new job, man, because I keep acting out on the job. And when you share real with the newcomer, he says, you don't know, they can give you something back, because it says it's a two-way street.
Come on, man.
Right? So I said, I need to get a new job. He said, Papa, you don't need a new job. You need to change your behavior. Right?
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what my ego said, right?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know? But I love them to death, though, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get mad when they come in my life. I just get a little disappointed when they leave out my life. Because I'm talking about like how I give back, you know what I'm saying? I do this, I got some sponsees, and you know how you get caught up with newcomers and stuff like that? You want them to stop feeling the pain and all that and stuff like that, and you just can't get them stopped.
Yeah.
I got a sponsee right now, you know what I'm saying? Loving them deaf, he having a hard time getting back. Newcomer, money, property, and prestige will divert you from your primary purpose. I'm talking about once you pick up, it is hard to put it down on sheer willpower alone.
Come on now.
I'm talking about, yo, he almost had me curse him out. I'm at work, he's trying to get into a detox. I said, we don't detox off crack. If anybody know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We do not detox off crack. He got mad at me. You know how addicts they use, and then they get mad at you?
Yeah.
And I'm at work. Trying to console him. We're talking about the compassion that you got to learn in your eighth step, man. You know, we're talking about that compassion, man, was that, like, can I be humble in the moment? Because it's easy to be in recovery when there's no storm.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just my storm, somebody else's storm. Can I be humble enough to give them the guidance? One of my sponsors called me while I was out there. He's in what we call a transitional housing. He's a new, not... I don't even think he's new, because he says he's been, like, anybody that tell me they've been coming to me since 88, you're not new.
Come on, man.
You're not new, right? But I'm near for him, right? He got 9 days, and he's talking about how he went back to his transitional housing. They gave his bed to somebody that was physically disabled, and he's pissed off. I said, real simple, because it's a simple program. Worry about staying stopped. and switched it back on him. I gave you some work to do, right? Did you get the 20 pamphlets that I tell you to get? Did you answer the questions about, like, write 10 things that you like about yourself and why? I said, focus on that, because your problem is not drugs, right? Our problem is not drugs. It's not Drug Anonymous. We're talking about we suffer from the disease of addiction that affects every area of our lives. And we need to find out the exact nature of why we keep thinking drugs can fix the problem, ultimately, who is us.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yo, this program right here, man. Yo, look at the theme. We talking about one promise, many gifts. Newcomers, y'all are a gift to me.
That's right.
And that gift have to be opened up. But the only way you can open it up if you look within. And the only way you can look within if you go on that journey. That journey through the 12 steps. No step work, no spiritual awakening. Right? But when you learn to live with yourself, we don't stop right there. You need to learn how to live with others, and this is why we got traditions. I'm talking about in doing the first step, I found out that I was powerless over my addiction and my life was unmanageable. And I need to give a shout out to the brother Khalees, was that I remember being new, I didn't make meetings. I rode around in my car and I had cassette tapes and stuff like that. That was my meeting. But then I heard a brother share that he told his father, he says, how do you know my life is unmanageable? He said, because you're powerless over your addiction. He said, how do you know I'm powerless over my addiction? He said, because your life is unmanageable. Just look, I'm talking about the stuff that sounded good kept me coming. Like in the beginning, it was the key tags. I'm talking about service is very important if you can't stay for 90 minutes. That's what helped me in the beginning. I was a very disruptive addict as a newcomer. I came to meetings just to make sure you was doing your job. Look, I read the group booklet. I was saying, let me see if the chairperson doing what he's supposed to do. You know? But it kept me coming.
That's right.
As a newcomer, then I started looking at the woman. That looked good, too. I already had that problem long before I got here. If you look on my arm, I got 7 names. That's 7 children. Right? And sometimes, check this out. Can a newcomer be my child? How about that one? How about that one? Where that I could call y'all every day and speak to my biological children once a week or twice a week and see them twice a month. How about that one? We talking about sponsoring others, but can I help sponsor my own? I'm talking about I have so much patience and tolerance with the newcomer, I wish, because I'm not there right now with my children with that one there. I got to get honest and say that. I got a program that I run, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to endorse it or anything like that, but I help on a bigger scale because the 12 step talks about that. Do I practice this in all my affairs, and do I still help the sick and suffering addict? Not just inside here, but outside there. I got my oldest son is 26. He's in the Bloods, he sells drugs, he uses, and I lose tolerance with him. Like you could come around me and use, right? And I'll be there for you, but when he come around me, yo, get out my face, don't come around me like that. I'm talking about it hurts to do that to him. It hurts, but you know what? I'm the most important person when it comes to my recovery. I am the most important person. If you jeopardize my life, that's a problem. That is a problem. Newcomer, let me show y'all who you're around. This is what when I come to conventions, I always got to take something back. I got the 20th edition now to add to my collection. Right? On our introductory page, it talks about, like, based on our experience, every addict, even a potential addict, has an incurable disease of mind, body, and soul. We were caught in a hopeless dilemma with the solution of spiritual nature. Therefore, this book deals with spiritual matters. So, like, you could want the car, you could want the house, you could want the good job, but if your spiritual condition is not met, you will smoke it all over again. I need, Khalil, I love you, right? Because like, I didn't want this thing to get in the way of me, but now that I looked at Khalil, I have to bring it up. Because I was very hurt, right? I was very hurt because the brother was reaching out to us to help to reach out to those that didn't know us, right? So every time he ran into somebody he knew, he introduced us, right? And you know the hug is the most loving thing you can give to somebody, right? But in the midst of giving a hug, somebody said that we dipped on them. Right? So he came to me. I'm leaving to go pray to my God and my understanding because I got a prayer life that I try to keep on point. So he stopped me in the midst of going to pray. And he said, yo, if anybody confronts you, just hold your head. Because I'm talking about, I go to 12 steps and no steps in a minute. No, for real, for real.
Yeah, man.
Come, yo, it said the disease is only arrested a day at a time. Yeah. And then to be accused of something and to a lifestyle that I'm no longer living, like, I got low tolerance for that. Yeah. So what I did, I heard him out. He said, don't worry about it. So I went and prayed anyway. So I said, yo, I'm going to tell him to stop introducing me to people. Right? But look, but once again, God intervened. Because you know we nosy addicts, right? So what I did was I went and prayed, and I seen this room that was open. So I went in there to be nosy. It was a hug squad room. So let me show you some more of my manipulative behavior.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So I said, yo, can I help y'all?
Come on now.
He says, but there's a $5 donation. I said, all right, fine. So I thought I was going to just be able to get the shirt. So I gave him the $5. He said, you got to give me 2 hours of your time. I'm like, oh. So, you know, so like I put the shirt on, and I said, well, I can give it to you now because I was like trying to get to the main meeting. So I went down anyway, so I'm standing in front of the main meeting. I said, damn, suppose that person come by that I hurt.
Come on, man. That's right, man.
So look, yo. So I did like this, so I took some money out of my pocket. I said, look, I got $5, but this hug is for free. How about that? Because it took me back to when I got here as a newcomer and my position was the secretary, and I was the guy who just said, like, if you're ready to surrender to Narcotics Anonymous today, please come up and get a hug. Yo, I got about 400 hugs yesterday. Like I'm talking about being restored to sanity is a must, because if you don't, right, our second step talks about, like, it is a tremendous struggle to stop relying on our own reasoning. I was ready to reason with myself. You ever group conscious with yourself? No, I'm serious. I mean, we do that. Newcomer, listen, we do that. Don't group conscious with yourself. And a little joke shows up. Maybe, what if, just one more. You know what I'm saying? That's a lie from the disease. It is a lie. Man. Wow. You know how the little joke talks about? That there's no role model for the recovering addict. Pay attention to the literature. Please do, because in our second tradition it says, however, many will become role models for the newcomer. But it's not, it says, but it, see, I don't just leave it there. But it says we do not set ourselves up as God. You know what I'm saying? We do not set ourselves up as God. Because the bottom line, because some of newcomer, if you don't know what to do, I'm about to tell you. And some of us probably ain't even take this step yet right here. We got a chapter that talks about what can I do, right? Here we go. Page. Now, we're going to get real serious with this one here. 53. It says, developing the concept of God as we understand him is a project that we can undertake. We can also use this step to improve our attitudes. Our best thinking got us into trouble. We recognize the need for change. Our disease involves much more than just using drugs, so our recovery must involve much more than simple abstinence. Recovery is an active change in our ideas and our attitudes. You know what I'm saying? So it's not so much about, if you want to find out why you keep going to use, you need to find out what you keep thinking about. I heard somebody say that we may not be able to think our way into a better way of living, but we can live our way into a better way of thinking, right? And I said, damn, that shit sounds good. So I had to think about it. That every time I perceive y'all to be one way, because that's where I'm at up here. It's talking about like we had a negative outlook in life. I'm talking about suffering from the disease of addiction. Like, it's a good thing if you take care of it. Cause like I'm all right with my disease today. Because it was until I accepted it and received it without argument is when I was able to do something about it. Cause when I was in denial of it, and it talks about how like denial is like, don't even know you lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't believe a problem exists, how can you change it? So, newcomer, I'm going to give you some more stuff. One to grow on. If I can find it. Page 86. Most addicts. Okay, it talks about how, like when newcomers come here, it says like most addicts resist the change in recovery. Only because they like newcomers come here looking for reasons not to be here. And us as responsible members, like we are responsible to help them see through that. As he mentioned, when you see the newcomers sitting in the corner, do you just leave them sitting there? Because I'm talking about, it says in here, right? I got some more stuff. This is interesting stuff here. Newcomers, if you want to know who you're around, right? Check this out. This is deep. Because right now you think you're around a bunch of addicts, but we bigger than that. Trust me, the literature said it, I ain't say it. It says, everything that occurs in the course of NA service must be motivated by the desire to more successfully carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. It was for this reason that we began this work. We must always remember that as individual members, groups, and service committees, we are not and should never be in competition with each other. We work separately and together to help the newcomer and for our own common good. What is our common good? To help each other stay clean? Not just from drugs. I'm talking about from some other things. Because I had about 14 relationships on the internet. No. And I believed it. And thank God for the people in my life. It's talking about till the illusion is shattered, we're in trouble. It's talking about the language of empathy in here. Like when you get here and you realize that we suffer from something, that you're around a special group of people. We are special. You know what I'm saying? What is the odds of somebody else that's working in the corporate world living two lives once they pick up? Now, by not coming here, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those fancy recovery places or rehabs and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about learning about the disease of addiction, newcomer. We're talking about like getting in here and getting into this work, you know what I'm saying? So you can save your life, so you can help save another life. Because I know and understand today, God did not save me for me. It talks about that in 11 steps. Like once you get this closer contact with the God of your understanding, it's now time for you to give back what's so freely and gratefully given to you. My sponsor told me that the grace that was bestowed upon me, right? You're talking about the unmerited favors was something that I didn't even deserve. And his mercy was the fact that I didn't get what I deserved. Because if I got what I deserved, I would not be standing here. I'm talking about I struggle with some of the simplest things, right? And I only struggle because I want to be there. I don't go around telling newcomers like the only requirement for membership is desire to stop using. And then stop right there. Because I believe that's kind of like some misinformation right there. If you just stop right there and don't talk about how membership is not automatic, and then once you say you're a member, you now have a responsibility. Freedom ain't free. All right, I got 2 minutes. Newcomer, with 12 years and 9 months, I'm going to give you the basics, right? And this is for anybody else that want to take it with them and run with it, right? I have a home group. The purpose of my home group, because this was what built the foundation in this addict's life. What it did, it put an anchor inside my recovery, right? So when I don't show up to my home group, somebody's calling me to find out where I'm at and why I'm not there. In my home group, I do service. Service allows me to keep a commitment and learn responsibility, not just to show up for myself, but to show up for another recovering addict and to keep the doors open for that addict that just might walk through the door. The big hit, even though meeting makers make it, they fall too anytime they stop making meetings. But those who make meetings regularly stay clean.
Say that.
So in making meetings, you might hear them say something about sponsorship. Sponsorship is the heart of this program. It works best for the two individuals that's working it. And if you got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, you'll be doing Narcotics Anonymous work. So when you get your sponsor, you're looking for a sponsor, I suggest you ask him some questions. Like, do you got a sponsor? Do you make meetings? How about this? What step are you on? I don't play with this right here. My sponsors always say, yo, your disease is just one move from saying checkmate.
Come on now.
One move from saying checkmate.
Because
at any given moment, I'm not too concerned about drugs. Because I'm talking about, it's not drugs that's the only thing that can lead me to jails, institutions, and death.
That's right. Come
That's not, I've been to jail clean about 4 times, I'm lying? Yo, we talking about that misinformation that I got a long time ago from misinformed people that told me I only need a license when cops. I listen, I don't play with this right here. My sponsor always said.